Hey, good morning. How are you? Faith Springs. Good to see you, everybody with us. And we got church people coming in. Just thousands are waiting at the door trying to make it in the door. I just want all those bigger churches to think, hey, well, what are they doing right? We love people here. So I want to make sure everybody's up and running. We are live Facebook also. We are on iHeartRadio this morning, so which is awesome that you can find us right on iHeartRadio and about dozens of other networks too. So when we start playing the piano, we'll be official going, but we are up. If you are seeing us fine and dandy this morning, if you could just text me. Kim, just letting you know, Richard is on, just to let you know he did fall back asleep. So Richard is on, so I did see him on there and several other people that's going to be around here. I hope you can see me all right. Am I all right on the screen? Can you see? Okay, good. I'll turn this off. Okay, people are logging in. And Don, we are live Facebook.
We are live everywhere, sir.
We're live everywhere. That's always good to know because I look down sometimes and I wonder if this part's alive or not. We're just going to sing a few hymns this morning, and then we'll get into God's Word. And just welcome. I'm pleased. I'm pleasantly pleased because I had no idea. I was talking to somebody, a friend of mine in Illinois, him and his wife, and they said they go to a Christian church up there. And they showed up Sunday, and it was them and their pastor and wife. They said four people in a church is kind of discouraging. So we broke that anyway. So I'll tell you what, let's pick up. Let's do one. Is this too loud, too hot? We okay? Okay, good. It may be when I start singing. We'll do a little pickup to make sure Charles is awake, and then we'll go from there, okay? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the pipes will be the war, and the morning breaks turn a bright day. When the Savior gather over on the other shore, and the rose called a yonder, I'll be there. When the roar is called up yonder, when the roar is called up yonder, when the roar is called up yonder. Let us talk with all his wondrous love and care. All of life is over and our work on earth is done. And the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Memories, and I hope it does for you, but I don't know. But I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have houses and houses. All right. Get your Bibles if you would. Are we still up and running? Okay, good. It's hot in here, but I had it to 66 or something earlier. I knew I'd work up a sweat. I'll sit here, but I'll make sure. Is it working? Is that right? Gotta get this over here. As far as announcements are concerned, just want to let you know we're having church here Sunday morning right now at 10 o'clock. We'll see how that plays out. I'm very pleased with what we have going right now. So praise the Lord for that and pray for the school. The school will be, they had a camp last week and finished up. I believe homeschool starts this week. And then the in his step starts in a couple weeks. So we'll be praying for them. And the actual camera is this little. Okay, you got it. Okay. Get your Bibles out if you would. And we're just going to look into God's Word and try to get you out of here pretty quick. I appreciate you coming out because I know the numbers are kind of scary. Right now, but our God's not. I mean, God takes care of us, and not that He doesn't take care of everybody, but I just trying to be safe and not silly and just try to protect people. But I know there's a lot of people going through stress right now, and I'm not the only one. This morning, I'm preaching to myself. You just get to be witnesses of watching that, of what I need to hear. There's so many times that when we go through life, we think, I'm trying to think of what it was. There's an old poster that I remember back in the 70s, maybe it was popular. It was a cat hanging from a limb of a tree. And I think the caption was hanging there, baby, or something like that. And it seems like that is the byline that we use with so many people. Just hang in there. I don't know about you. That isn't a good evangelistic tool to be able to convince people that life's good. Just hang in there. Because I want to let you know, after you get done with one situation that you're just hanging in there with, congratulations, you're going to go right into another one. And sometimes you're going in to several. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you feel like you're at the last paw, and then there's days that there's just only one claw hanging in there, baby. And I want to let you know, it's God is more than that. And I want to show you five different things of how to deal with stress in your life when you think you're just hanging in there. And I think these are five things that I need to hear. But we're going to try to deal with this with God's Word and get in there. So we're in the Gospel of John. When we go through these issues, when we go through these situations, this stress stuff, that's where life changes. That's where life happens. That's where character is made. And for sure, huddle up, that's where growth happens. When you're hanging there, thinking, I wonder if I'm going to make it to another event or another change in my life. That's where growth has the opportunity to have its most impact on your life. So I kind of wild, but if you're hanging there today, congratulations, you're growing. Don't give up. Hang there. But I'm going to show you five ways to handle that when that happens to you. Number one, I want you to search for God in that situation. Make an attempt to search for Him. Okay? John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16:33. Jesus is talking, so if you have a red letter Bible, this would be red in your Bible. Jesus is talking, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. This other version says, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You need to be. So think about what's going on in your life. What's the biggest challenge right now that you're dealing with? You need to be totally invested in that challenge, okay? I want to encourage you that. You need to be totally invested in that. So I'm not asking you to step out of the situation, because it was obviously about your kids. And it was, you know, what's going on in your world that you just mentioned. And what's going on with some other people. Larry and his wife, they just lost her mom. So many other people that's dealing with things. You have to be invested in that, okay? But when it comes to terms of what I'm meaning by this point, I want you to ask the question, what is it with God that God is trying to do in this with me? So be totally invested in that. But where and what should I apply God to those stresses that I'm experiencing in my life? You have a basic attitude toward life. Sometimes we're ticked off at God because it didn't happen the way we wanted to. And we talked about this because these are all been dominoing into each other. We talked about this that, you know, sometimes we question God. And we a week or two ago, I said, that'd be great. Go ahead and question him. But if he answered your questions, you still wouldn't be happy. If you said, hey, God, why? Why is this happening to me? If he came down and sat right here and said, okay, this is why you're dealing with this. This is why you're dealing with this. This is why, you would say, but I'm still not happy with it because I have to deal with it. And he's got a bigger picture than that. So we need to say, God, what is it that God is doing in this? What can I learn from this? How can I lean in to you on this more than I ever have before? And God will be able to hopefully show you that, and you can feel that. There's a growth process here. So search for God in whatever crisis that you're going through, okay? Number two. I need this, and I don't think I'm probably the only one that does. That was just skim. Let's drill a little deeper. Number two, ask God to use this situation to mature me. Romans 5, 3 through 4 is verses I want you to write down for that. Romans 5, 3 through 4. Paul's talking here. Ask God to use what you're dealing with in your life to mature me. Sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes I'm not happy. Sometimes I pout. Admit it. You do too. You do too. Stop off. I'm not doing that because it's not my way. I'm not happy with it. When God handles stuff, he sometimes allows us to go through it as a point in our life to see who we really are, what we're really made of. Romans 5, 3 and 4 goes like this. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. And then there's a process, and we've used this verse several times the last few weeks. There's a process in the suffering. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. How many times do we say it? I say this every Sunday night on the program. When we close off, before we the last 30 seconds, I always just hammer in, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened to your life, whatever matter what you're going to get into, there's always hope. Okay, but in that, you have to go through the process. To have hope, there's got to be some kind of suffering there. To have the perseverance, and I'm going to hang with what I know is hang with the bull. And that's God. Okay? So if I see God in the situation, okay, then I need to understand, God, mature me while I'm in that situation. Because God is far more concerned about your character and mine than he is your comfort and your wants and the way you think it needs to be. He's more concerned about your character. Could it be the very things in our life that haven't happened the way we want them to, or the timetable that we want them to happen? Is because our character couldn't handle it. He still has some rough edges that he wants to kind of iron off on us. I know it is that way with me. So many times people come into my life and they dance on a nerve. And I pray, because, you know, we're good Christian people, right? Everybody is here. I don't know who's out there, but everybody is here, okay? So we're good Christian people. And we pray like this, Lord, let them have you to see it my way. That's not praying for them. That's not maturity. That's telling God, change everybody else's mind and make me right. What if God says, hey, good, but no thank you, because you're dead wrong in this situation. It's called maturity. I want to grow you in this process. And definitions of immaturity. This will hit you right between the eyes because it does me. Immaturity is demanding that reality will adapt to you. That what I really want is going to happen. That's immaturity. If I say it loud enough, if I control the situation enough, that's immaturity. That's not what he wants. And isn't it crazy that in this pandemic, we can't control anything? It's totally out of our control. So God, where are you at in this? How can I see you in this? How can I mature in this? And maturity is adapting to the reality. I hate to break anybody's bubble. Church will never be the same. Not here, not at any First Baptist in any state or city that there is. Church has forever been changed because of this. We're going to have to get more creative. We're going to have to get out of the 1960s and get to 2020 and beyond and start using this thing that I don't even know how to use half the time. That's why I have four or five of these in my house, because one's for the radio show, one's for my podcast, one's for this, one's for me to do my book writing on, and one's for this, because every time I change a thing on it, I lose it. So I just have a computer all through the house that does everything that I needed to do. And obviously it may not be working this morning, but anyway, I hope it still is. It's not going to be the same. So we have to get out of this, of saying, okay, God, because this is the mode I'm in. I want it to be back the way it was. And God's saying, behold, I'm doing a new thing. That's going to be on our wall when you walk into the new building. I will spring forth something new. He's going to bring something out of the desert. Even though we are so close to God and so close to each other here, isn't it awesome? The church that we have, But there's another level that he wants to push us to. And folks, I'm too old-fashioned. I would have never done this if it wasn't for this situation we're in. I would have never done this. They've been trying to get me, Michael's been trying to get me to do this ever since you guys came to what we need, Pastor. That's why the camera's right there for one of them, and there's other cameras over here that's supposed to be for this. I keep saying, I'm too old for that. No. Let the new preacher that you get later on after I drop dead and you bury me out back, out by the pond, if you would, senior. But just throw the ashes, would you? Because there won't be a piece of me laying around. I don't want anybody else kicking more dirt on me. Just burn me and get it over with. I would have never done it. But God says now, because of that, there's thousands of people listening to Faith Springs Baptist Church right now. Thousands of people out there listening to us. And there's thousands of people that listen to us each day, every day, in repeats. I don't even know how all that works, but in repeats, it just keeps going. That's the impact that we're going to have. That's the impact that we're having. And God's saying, okay, do you want it your way, or do you want it the more miraculous way and let me do it? I think, to be honest with you, I'm just going to sit back and go, okay, my immaturity has cost us enough time, energy, and money, and blood, sweat, and tears. Lord, what's reality? He says, reality is rest in me. I have a blueprint. I have a game plan. I have a timetable. I have the cattle on a thousand hills and all the money to take care of it. Just rest in me and allow me to develop your character. And that's what it's all about. I don't know if that steps on your toes or not, but it jumps on mine. It jumps on mine. We need to go to God and say, what are you trying to do? Tell me where I'm not who I need to be. Develop my character. Oh, that one doesn't even taste good. But it's what we need. Am I the only one? Okay. Number three. And I love this because we have this. But it's important because I'm guilty of this too. Like I told you, this is for me. Search for God in the crisis. Ask for God to mature me in the middle of it. And then reach out in relationship with other people. Psalm 72:12. Write that down under that one. Psalm 72:12. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. You ever gone through something major and then you remember you're into it about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks? And then you realize, I haven't even prayed about it. Some people, how you doing? Well, I'm doing all right. How's things going? Oh, it's really bad. We actually are going to praying about it. It's that bad that we actually have to start praying. Wow. That's kind of different. We need to, in this, there's two different kinds of reaching out that I think this is referring to and the Bible tells us about. One is vertical. We need to reach out to God. Reach out to God. Hey, Lord, I'm crying out to you. And the other is horizontal. We need to reach out to each other. I use this verse all the time for my favorite verses. Ecclesiastes 4, it goes by, you know, two are better than one. You have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend's going to help him up. But pity the man who falls and has nobody to help him up. There's a principle here under this one that we really need to hear. That God's designed relationships to be the best place to go when life's chaotic, when life's out of control, when life hurts. He has relationships. And there's two types of people in this world. Just kind of like if we all lifted our shirts and let's show our belly buttons. There's two types of belly buttons. There's innies and outies. I mean, obviously I have an innie because I've lost the TV remote and found it in my belly button. So I know I have an innie, you know. But there is. There's two different types of belly buttons. There's two different types of people. Those innies. I'm an innie. When I have trouble, I get in my car and I'll handle it myself. Any other innies? You want to handle on your own. Matter of fact, when I shut down, when I don't respond, when I'm not the person that you put up, that's strange and great getting a response to an email in 30 seconds like I normally do. I'm having an any moment. I can handle it all myself, and I'm off trying to deal with it on my own. And I've dealt with that way all my life. But then there's those outies. Never had an outie, but if you have one of those outies, just as soon as something even begins to happen, you're on the phone, talking to somebody, telling them about it, and about it, and calling not only them, but everybody on the church directory, and calling them and telling them all about it. Now, which one is best to be able to handle stress and crisis? Which one handles it the best? The outie. Because we are built for relationships. We are wired to be able to connect to each other. So I have a deficiency in my wiring process that it only goes out about here, and then I don't connect with anybody else. But God says, I have developed the church to change all of that, because this is the only organization that's going to be for eternity. What we have here is practice for heaven. And if I can't deal with this here, I'm going to be miserable up there, or I'm going to have to change one or the other. And God said, why don't I just start changing you now? So you learn that these people aren't going to hurt you like you think they're going to. They're going to love you. They're going to put their arms around you. They're going to accept you. And the last two or three years, I've understood that in a way I never thought I could understand. That's awesome. You have to end up in life problems that outies deal with it better than innies. And we need to involve other people. We need to contact those prayer warriors that you've told the story a couple times, I think, about how you reached out to those you know when you have those issues in life. Why waste your time with somebody who says, oh, I'll pray for you, they never do it? They forget it on the way out the door. But you know those that say, I'm praying for that one. Or they stop right there and lift you up. That's the kind of relationship that we need to be able to handle the crisis in our life. So he's not only interested in our character, he's interested in our relationship. I personally believe that's why this church has no fear of ever closing its doors, because we have it here. We don't have the prettiest building, and by all means, we don't have the fanciest carpet. This was built this way just to show that we really work hard here. That's why we bought it, so it didn't meet. I'm teasing. But I'm more interested in my relationship with you in the car, because it's going to be churches that have the most fanciest carpet and velvet pew covers in the world, and they're going to go out of business because they don't have this. We have that, and we have to nurture that, and nothing can come in and try to take that away from us. And the day that it starts to taste sour, and it starts to feel different, we need to take a step back and go, wait, who or what is the common denominator? And if I'm the common denominator of that negativity, then I need to exit out. or I need to get somebody to put a knot in my tail and yank it. Because it's important. We have to protect our relationship. That's what it's all about. It's who we are and who we worship. And then who we reach out to. I don't want this to ever change. So when this gets done and we have more people, I don't know how many we'll have. Who knows? God only knows. There may be another pandemic next year. There may be a situation where we never need a building bigger than this. That's just going to be storage. I don't know. God knows. But I know I'm sick and tired of trying to figure it out. Let him do it. Let him deal with it. And then worry about us. Number four. I haven't given you number four yet, have I? Oh, I'm doing good. Wow, I still got a little bit of time. Number four. Oh, boy. This one's not easy. And I had this marked off three times and I kept putting it back because I needed to hear it. And if I need to hear it, maybe you do too. I need to start taking ownership of my own situation. Number four, I need to take ownership of my situation. Sometimes things happen in our life that's not our fault. This pandemic, I don't care what preacher you listen to or tells you, you know, why this is happening and all that. There's some things we just can't control, but there's some things we can. And the situation that I'm in, I need to take and control my own situation. And there's two aspects of this. That if you're jotting down, jot this down. You need to learn to set the limits on the good things that are beyond what we can do. Now, you say, wait, you're telling me to set limits on the good things beyond what I can do. Yeah. Think about it. Exodus 18, 17 and 18. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, goes up to Moses and says, Moses, you're messing up, young man. You are messing up. You really think you can do this all alone? Let me stop paraphrasing. Jethro says, what you are doing is not good. William's version, you're messing up. You and these people who've come to you will only wear yourself out. He's saying, Moses, the work is too heavy for you. You can't do it alone. Every now and then, you have to say no to something. You have to control, even though you could probably do it good. Even though, grandma, grandpa, you could watch those kids every day of the week and night and month and year and they're off, whatever. Every now and then you go, hey, wait, no. I have to have time for me. I have to have time for my honey. I have to have time to do this in the house. I have to have time. And I get caught up in this. I literally get caught up in this. Just because I only sleep a couple hours a day doesn't mean I need to work and have a cram 22 hours. So every now and then, I need to say, hey, wait. Just because I'm the only one working at the office right now live doesn't mean that I get to do everybody's job just because I'm the only one there. So we have to be able to somewhere in the aspect of owning my own situation to say, wait, that day's mine. That hour's mine. That is mine. No. And Jethro was telling Moses, it's going to kill you. Your ticker's not going to be able to handle it. And what did they do? They came up with a system that they still use today in the judicial system of let these good folks deal with it. Let these good folks worry about it. Let these folks that need a ministry and have a calling to do it. And, you know, we're working on the Celebrate Recovery, and I really believe this is going to be what the whole church is built on, what Bernice and I are working on and being trained on in the Celebrate Recovery, because that's what it's all about, helping people in the issues that they're dealing with and the issues that are along, all those hang-ups and stuff that they're dealing with. But I want to tell you what, we can't do it all, because there's going to be hundreds of people that need help. And that's the neat thing about this, and I really fell in love with the other day on the webinar, when they sat right there and said, this is a ministry producing. It produces preachers. It produces ministers. It produces Sunday school teachers, because people get involved, they get touched by it, and they want to help somebody else. It's the most awesome thing that we can do for each other. Because one person, two people, one family can't do it all. So you have to take ownership for your own situation. Mature people learn the difference between the good things in life and the right things in life. There's a lot of good things that you can do. But they're not all right for you to be the one to do them. And the second aspect of this, and there are four of them, we're almost done, is we need to say no to evil things. Psalm 101:7. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. We need to take ownership of who we actually are in the situations that we're in. None of us are perfect. I know I'm not. I know I'm not. Where are you at with that? And I could go another 30 minutes just on that one. We're going to finish up. We got a couple minutes. Number five, and I'm done. Face failure. And learn from it. Every time you mess up, face it. Don't stay down. Keep getting going and learn from it. Who's failed? Who's the king of failure? Right here. Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Constant use there in the Greek means practice, practice, practice. You practice. You fail, you learn. You practice, you fail, you learn. Every day I practice and I fail, and I have to learn from that. So every time something bad happens to me and I just flat mess up, I have to be able to say, what do I need to get from that? And the neat thing about it is I have a verse as we finish out. This is one of the best verses in the Bible in Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So my perfectionist mode condemns me every minute of every day. But in Jesus Christ, he says, great, I wait for you to try it and mess it up than not try it at all. I wait for you to give it an attempt. I'd way prefer on my tombstone, it says, last time we saw him, he was heading towards Jesus. But after that, he went missing. I would way prefer that. And then learn from him every time I mess up. So we're going to make mistakes in this new world. We're going to make all kinds of errors. And believe you me, there's scars on my emotional body and my physical body. There's scars on this physical building. Then I say, oh, should have done it different that way. And forever, I will be reminded of my failures in so many ways. But God said, great, there's no condemnation. There's no dress rehearsal for some of this stuff. You got to follow what the Spirit says and what you think's best. And then when you make a mistake, bounce back. Get over it. Because I understand. And I love you anyway. You know, the Pharisees and that legalistic mentality that some churches have as we close out. Of people that have never had a problem in their life. And it's always everybody else that has a worse problem. Because God's going to say, I never knew you. You had nothing in grace with you. There was no mercy found in you. Your name's not written there. Because all it was about was what you could do to get to heaven instead of what I've done to get you there. That's what I needed to hear this week. That's what I needed to experience this week. I don't know where you're at, but I just want to lift you up in prayer. And as we close down this morning, whatever situation you're going through, seek God in it and ask Him, how can I learn something from what I'm going through? And I hope you have an awesome week. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for five ways, Lord, that I need to understand and grow in you. Show me how to do it. Break the stubbornness. Break the perfection. Lord, I've never been designed to be perfect. I'm flawed. Lord, show me how to draw. Learn. Get closer. Abide in. Trust more. And Lord, in some ways, show us how to say no when it's still a good thing, but it ain't the right thing for us to do at the time. That somebody else is better equipped to do it. Lord, teach us. Thank you for allowing us to be in the best church body this morning that is around. Faith Springs, and we are blessed to be here. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all for coming. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you right here next week at 10 o'clock at Faith Springs Baptist Church. Thank you, folks, for being with us this morning. If you need to reach out, need somebody to pray with you, or just give me a buzz, reach out on emails, texts, whatever. But just thanks for being here. We will see you tonight. We have Sam Glenn that's going to be with us tonight. He is the leading speaker, won speaker awards, and it's just going to be an awesome, fun meeting tonight at 8 o'clock on Breaking the Silence. Sam Glenn, an author of about 12, 15 books. And we are honored to have him tonight. We'd love to have you there with us. God bless you. Have a good week.